Why in the world do you believe they're going to believe Jesus is all that? After all you have said about these people, why should they believe this Jesus is all that?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Once again this evening, we will hear Pastor Brian Grant bring the exhortation of God's Word as he continues his messages going through the book of Ephesians. The message tonight is the second in his miniseries focused on Paul's admonition of chapter 4 and verse 1 to walk worthy of our calling in Jesus Christ. So tonight, we will hear a message that asks the question of how important is unity in the church to God? Or put another way, how is it that unity is an important measure of the worthy walk Paul is speaking of? So this evening, Pastor Grant will examine various scriptures that show some of the ways in which the relationship of one believer with another has a profound effect on the Christian witness in this world, as well as being an important measure of the worthy walk the Lord wants for every believer. If you have your Bibles, please follow along with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message entitled, Walk in Unity, Part 1. Here now is Pastor Grant.
The five fingers were in a heated argument as to which was the most powerful, which was the greatest of the fingers. So of course the thumb, he immediately made it clear, he's the greatest because he's exclusive. He says, I'm not even tied to the rest of you. I am special. I am the greatest. The index finger immediately said, well, I'm the greatest because I'm the best at pointing and I'm also the best at picking your nose. Well, the middle finger said, well, I'm the greatest because it's obvious. I'm the longest finger and I'm the biggest finger. I'm certainly the greatest. Well, the third finger said, well, come on. Who could be greater than me? I'm the ring finger. The wedding ring slides over me. The poor little pinky, he was so small. The pinky said, listen, I am small, but dynamite only comes in small packages. I am the greatest. Well, they couldn't settle the dispute, so they decided to have a contest. And so they put a $20 bill on a table, and the contest was whichever finger can pick up the $20 bill was the greatest of all the fingers. So they spent all this time trying, and the thumb couldn't pick up the $20 bill. Try as they might, you knew the answer. The only way they could pick up the $20 bill is if they worked together. And my friend, do you realize that we need each other? Amen? I'm continuing a sermon series I started last week entitled The Worthy Walk. And this morning I want to do part one of a two-part message which I'm entitling Walk in Unity. This morning I want to lay the foundation. Next week we're going to get into the nuts and bolts. But it's important that this morning I lay a foundation about this whole subject of walking in unity. And I trust you'll take the time to stay with us as we cover some very important teaching. I believe if we did a survey and asked, what do you think is the most important subject for a Christian walk? What's the most important thing in the walk of a Christian? I believe if we did a survey, very few people would say unity. I believe the subject of Christians walking in unity would not be very high on the totem pole. But isn't it interesting, as the Apostle Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, starts telling us about this worthy walk, isn't it interesting that the first thing he mentions is walking in unity? Isn't it interesting? Did you know that there is hardly anything as important to God, as unity in the church. Did you know that? There is hardly anything else as important to God as unity in the church. If I were to ask you to tell me to what did Jesus pray to his Father when he was in Gethsemane, how many of you would be able to recite that prayer for me? What did he say? He prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." We know that prayer very well, don't we? But did you know that there is another very important prayer that Jesus prayed that very night? Sometimes we miss this one. Many Christians don't remember that there is another very important prayer. And that night, the same night he prayed from Gethsemane, he also prayed another prayer to his Father. And as he faced Calvary, Jesus prayed to his Father about some of the things that were most important to him. You said, tell me what was that? Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. And let's see what is the prayer that Jesus prayed here in John's Gospel, chapter 17. And when you get there, you can say amen. Let me read for you here in John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm going to read to you from verse 9. It says here, "I pray for them." Jesus is talking about his disciples. He says to his Father, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. No, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." And then jump down to verse 20, and here's what Jesus prays as he prays to his Father. He says, "Father, I do not pray for these alone," that's my disciples, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word," that's us, amen? "That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be," help me out, somebody, "that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." There are four important things I want to leave with you today. Four important things. And here is the first one. Put this in your notes. Relationships among believers are among the most important things to God. You may not realize this, but God wants every believer to grab a hold of this morning. Relationships among believers are among the most important things to God. And if they're important to God, they should be important to every Christian as well. Can I get an amen on that? Church unity should be a big deal to every Christian. Now I know somebody's going to say, "Thank God I'm not, you couldn't be talking to me, because I am not causing no problem. I don't cause disunity because I just hang by myself." You see, God is talking to the person who hangs by themselves. And he's talking to those who hang with others and cause trouble. By the way, you realize all of us are prone to disunity. And I want the brother or the sister who likes to hang by themselves to realize God is talking to you. Because if you're hanging by yourself, you are not one. Are you realizing that? You miss lone Christian. You missed the I stand by myself. I'm doing my own thing. You are not doing what God wants us to do, because he says that we might be one. We might be one. It's not only a matter of avoiding friction. It's a matter of being together and being one. But unity is not always easy. Am I right about that? A lady was struggling in this area, and she prayed to God, and she said, "Dear God, so far today I've done really good." She said, "So far today I have not gossiped." She said, "So far today I have not said anything bad about anybody. In fact, I haven't gotten angry, and I haven't made anybody angry. God, I'm so happy. I'm doing so well this morning." She says, "But God, I'm about to get out of bed. I'm about to get out of bed, and God, I'm going to need a lot of help." You see, so for some people, the only time they can stay in unity is when they are in bed. And sometimes, even when they're in bed, they're not in unity, because they have access to a phone. It ain't easy to stay in unity. But my friend, it might not be easy, but I want you to realize that it is critical. Look with me back at John 17, verse 23, and let's break down verse number 23 of that very important passage. Let's start at verse 22. "And the glory," Jesus prays to his Father, "the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one," and I don't want you to miss this, "and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Here's the second thing to put in your notes. When we fail to walk in unity, it hinders the gospel. I don't think we realize unity is this big a deal. When we fail to walk in unity, it hinders the gospel. You say, "Pastor, how could it hinder the gospel?" Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said that when we, listen, "that they might be one," I'm reading from verse 23, "that the world may know that you sent me." Our unity testifies to the deity of Christ. Do you see that in the passage? Our unity testifies to the deity of Christ. Jesus is saying, when we walk in unity, when the world sees that we are one, it says, then the world will know that Jesus was sent by God. We don't realize how big a deal this is. He not only says that the world may recognize that you sent me, but then it says that the world may realize that God loves them. Oh, you got quiet in me. Are you seeing what God is saying? He's saying that when we carry on, when we fail to live in unity, the world misses the point that God loves them.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I believe that unknowingly, many Christians have sabotaged their own families. I believe unwittingly, we have blocked the path to God for our own children and family. You say, "Pastor, how could that be?" You know, the Scripture Union notes, one day it had one of the devotional or daily bread. It said that for some Christians, their favorite dinner is not roasted chicken on a Sunday.
On a Sunday, it's not roasted chicken, it's roasted preacher. But it's okay to roast this preacher, you know, it's all right. But listen, here's the deal. When we go home and tear down the leaders or our brothers and sisters in Christ in front of our children and our family, why do you expect that your children will think this Jesus is all that? Are you with me? Why in the world do you believe they're going to believe Jesus is all that after all you have said about these people? Why should they believe this Jesus is all that? And then suddenly your son or your daughter shows up in the Sunday school class of that person. You have already told him how wicked they are. Why in the world is that child going to pay any attention to this teacher or to this preacher or whatever? Are you with me? My brother and sister, we hinder the gospel when we do not walk in unity. And part of the reason why we hinder it is not only because of the things we say, but because the children and our family, it grabs a message that this God is not really that loving a God. If this God was so loving, how is it it's not being manifested in the life of my mom or my dad who claims they're such incredible Christians? May God help us to change. Amen. May God help us to change. But listen, there's another big reason why the church must walk in unity. And you can add this one to your notes. Walking in unity, this is an additional point. Walking in unity gives glory to God's wisdom. Walking in unity gives glory to God's wisdom. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 8. And I hope you realize why God has laid this message on my heart to lay this foundation. Because if we don't quite understand the roots, the underpinning, why this is so important, we can walk away when we get to the actual nuts and bolts and say, it's optional. I can do it if I feel like. I don't have to be if I don't feel like. But God wants us to recognize that the roots why he is commanding us to unity go very, very deep. And Jesus is letting us know that as he goes to the cross, what is uppermost on his mind is unity. Are you getting it? That's what's uppermost on his mind. Unity. Walking in unity gives glory to God's wisdom. Verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter 3. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I've read these verses several times, but on Thursday, the lights finally went on. These verses, I don't know if you notice this, these verses give us a peek into a major cosmic showdown. It's a showdown between God and Satan and Satan's forces. And the text is telling us that the church has a major role to play on this cosmic stage. Your life, if you're a believer, and my life is more significant than you might realize. I want everybody to grab to be with me right now. Because by God's help, I hope I can explain it. This to me is so big. I feel so inadequate, but I trust that the Spirit of God will help you to grasp how important your role is in this cosmic warfare. Here's what he says in verse number 10. Let's read it again. Verse number 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. The church. God is setting up the church to make known his manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You see, he's just talked about how he has united the church. He has just told us about the mystery of what he has done in the church. And now he's saying, as a result of what he has done by the church, his eternal wisdom is to be made known to the principalities and powers. Who are the principalities and powers? We're going to come back to that very shortly. The principalities and powers are talking about Satan and all those rulers in the dark world, the evil world, those fallen angels, Satan and all his angels. The Bible is telling us that by the church, God is going to show his eternal wisdom. God is a God of relationships. I said that before. Amen. God is a God of relationships. Relationships matter to God. Do you remember what happened when God made Adam and Eve? When he made Adam, do you remember what happened? What would happen? How do we know God was a God of relationships? What would God do? You can talk back to the preacher. He would come down, wouldn't he? The Bible says that God would come down in the cool of the day and he would have fellowship with Adam, didn't he? God is a God of relationships. God loves relationships. And if there's nothing else you get from this message, never forget that God loves relationships. But there's somebody else. Our adversary hates relationships. And no sooner than Adam and Eve were now having fellowship with God, Satan, he comes along. Somebody stay with me now. Satan comes along and he gets into the mix. And what do we have? The relationship is broken. He has severed the relationship between God and man. Then soon after, he comes to Cain and Abel. Heard somebody say Cain and Abel sat on a table. Cain took a dinner fork and stuck it in his brother's navel. Well, so much for nursery rhymes. But here's the bottom line. Cain slew his brother. Satan got into the heart. Sin was crouching at the door and he killed him. Of course, by the time you get to Esau and Jacob, Esau wants to kill his brother. Listen, Satan, the Bible says what happened. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Satan's one purpose is to destroy relationships. And there's some of you in this church this morning that perhaps there's a relationship between you and your children that's broken. Some of you, there's a relationship between you and your parents that's broken. Perhaps there's a relationship between you and your spouse that's broken. Listen, Satan has got into the mix, and Satan's desire is to break every relationship. And young person, you are here. Older person, you are here. I want you to grab a hold of that. That Satan's tool is to break relationships. And for no other reason why you need to cling to God, young person, is because God loves relationships. Oh, some of you want to get married one day and you're looking over the fence and you see all these other girls or guys and you think they're so cute. If they know Jesus, I want you to know that you're just going to have Satan as your father-in-law. If you marry that unsaved person, Satan will be your father-in-law and he hates relationships. And I guarantee you, he's going to do everything he can to destroy your relationship. But in God's eternal plan, God has an eternal plan. Satan is breaking up everything, and he's feeling good. He's breaking up every relationship. He's causing havoc. And oh, would to God that if you're here this morning and your marriage is in trouble, you won't allow him to break it up. That this morning you would say, God, I believe you are for my relationship. And God, give me the strength. Give me the wisdom. Give me the obedience to submit to your will and to your way. So Satan will try to wreck relationships. Amen? Listen, young person, older person, do it God's way. Don't look over the fence. Don't say the grass is so green. God's way is the best way. Amen?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.